Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you provide, and your word, the Bible, is such a beautiful provision for us if we just take advantage of it and read it and study it and grow in our understanding and just understand better how all this was brought about. So we just thank you for what you've given us and what we have today and how you've protected it down through the ages from those who wanted to destroy it. And you didn't allow them to allow that to happen. And so we just thank you for your protection over your word. And so we can have it today, for the most part, as it was written 1,000+ years ago. And so we just thank you for the totality of your word. But we thank you this day for the Psalms themselves that we're continue to study through. I ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance as I share what it is that you want me to share in these verses, reading them carefully and relating to different things that we might see in these verses that we're studying in the Psalms. So thank you, Lord, for what you have given us, and we just ask and we thank you particularly for giving us your Son to go to the cross and die for each one of us, and that by faith in him and putting our trust and faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the promise that he has given us of eternal life through him. And so we're grateful for that. But we also thank you that when Jesus left this earth, he made arrangement through the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And so we have the Holy Spirit operating among us and literally living in us if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I just pray for the people here in this place. I pray for those who may be listening in. I pray for many others that are preaching and teaching the word this day around the country and around the world. I just pray that they will grow and continue to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to insights and understandings and helps us to grow in our knowledge of your word. So we thank you for all this, and we just ask for your blessing and guidance on this day and for the people who have come and who may be listening in, a blessing on them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pick up with Psalm 128. Now remember, I was talking last week about several of these psalms in this section are called the Songs of the Ascent. It's going up to the mountain in Jerusalem. And so the calling to go up. And so for the Jewish people, even today, that have been brought back to their land and are in Jerusalem, but they're fighting for their lives, and they continue to fight the enemy. And now we're just grateful that our nation, through our president, is helping in a vital way to help them to keep them in their land. But we pray for their salvation as well, Lord, because Israel has come back to their land, but in unbelief, many of them. They still put their faith in the Old Testament, a lot of things, but they haven't received Jesus Christ fully as their Lord and Savior. And we know the Bible tells us clearly that you have let us know that when Jesus does come back to straighten everything out in the tribulation period, that they will look upon the one they pierced and they will weep. And we believe that Israel, but 2/3 of Israel, according to your word in Revelation, will be killed during the tribulation period. So there's a lot yet to happen in the times to come, but we see so many things developing at this time that we just thank you for helping us to understand it, help us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of your word so that we can better understand what's happening in our times. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and I ask for a blessing upon all people that are hearing the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're ready to jump into Psalm 128. We left off with 127 last week. And so what I'm doing, I will read through the psalm, particularly the shorter psalms. I may skip some on the longer psalms, but I've done a summary of each of these psalms. And so for Psalm 128, there's six verses. It's part of the Song of the Ascents. So verses 1 to 4 I just describe as, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in his ways." And when you think of those two critical words, fear of the Lord and walking in his ways, following his path, following his footsteps, that's a very important process for God's people. And so we should be hearing the word and following accordingly. And then verses 5 and 6, the last two verses of this psalm, basically I've just said, "May the Lord," that's Yahweh, "bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." And so now that I've covered most of what it says, but I want to read it word for word here so you have it in front of you. Psalm 127, and it reads, "Unless the Lord," that's Yahweh, "builds the house, its builders labor in vain."
Gary.
Yes.
You went back to 127.
Thank you. Thank you. I need somebody to keep me straight. Yes, so thank you, Sonia.
You're welcome.
Psalm 128, I'm sorry. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord," Yahweh, "who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." So that's the Song of the Ascent of 128, unknown author, but there's a lot to digest there. So I'll leave it to what it reads, and I guess I continue to encourage you as we go through the Psalms and as you look deeper into the Psalms, continue to read them. Read them in a regular order. So moving on to Psalm 129, again, the overview of it, it's eight verses, again, it's part of the Song of the Ascents. I put all eight verses together with this phrase, it probably covers most of the verses, "Let Israel say," so it's directed towards Israel, "let them say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. But the Lord Yahweh is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May those who pass by not say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord Yahweh." So let me just put it all together in the actual reading of the eight verses, and you can kind of see what I highlighted through this. "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say." And so that's the word of God spoken back to Israel, his people, chosen people. "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion." And isn't that an interesting statement? How many do we see in the world today, in our country particularly, that hate Zion? We've got a guy running for the mayor of New York now. You know, is New York going to pick a Zion hater? You know, we'll see. There's more Jews in New York than any other place in the United States. So, but they voted, they preliminarily voted him there. So.
You got to drive those Jews home somehow.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. I know, it's a part of God's plan. We've got to see what it takes to get them to come back.
Yeah.
Eliyahu.
Yeah.
So, may all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. With it the reaper cannot fill his hands, nor the one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say, the blessing of the Lord Yahweh be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord Yahweh. So that's 129. 130, again, is an unknown author, and again is part of the Song of the Ascents. And I just kind of summarized it. I'll see if I'm too repetitive as I actually read through it after I do the summary and see if I need to do the reading through. But I kind of summarized these eight verses. If you, O Lord, Yahweh, kept a record of sins, and we can ask the question, does God keep a record of sins until we ask for forgiveness and then are washed away through what Jesus did? If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, namely God, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. I wait for the Lord Yahweh. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord Yahweh, for the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And so, and then the actual reading, we'll just see how close this is. Out of the depths, some of these things I left out of my summary. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Spoken twice there. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And that's a promise. But individually, they have to come to his son, Jesus Christ. And most of Israel has not yet done that. And so we see there's much yet that has to happen. And that's why God allows some of these things to happen. Trying times, putting pressure on them. And so that they realize they can't do everything on their own. Even if you have Donald Trump backing you. And so, or America. But there is a time in which God will truly cause them to turn to him, turn to him, and to, specifically to his son, Jesus Christ. So that's the future. Okay, Psalm 131, again, a song of the ascents. And I just summarized these three verses with one line. I'll read the whole thing, but I just summarized it with, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord Yahweh, both now and forevermore. Pretty simple statement, but how much that covers. That's what it's all about. Just put your faith in him, and he will make all things right. So, and so that is a Psalm of David, 131. And so In reading the actual psalm, the three verses, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord," that's Yahweh, "both now and forevermore." So, again, a short verse, one from David. And as I've mentioned many times, and Raymond has mentioned as well, according to Ezekiel, David will be there with Jesus in the millennial kingdom. And so David, despite the several things that he did that were against the Lord's way, God still has blessed him and is honoring him with the future. So that's Psalm 131. We'll move on to 132. This is longer, so I have a short summary of it. It's an unknown author, Psalm 132. Again, it's a song of the ascents. It's 18 verses. So let me tell you my summary. The whole thing is to remember David. Verse 1, his hardships. Verse 2 to 5, his oath to the Lord. Verses 6 to 10, do not reject your anointed one. And verses 11 to 18, the Lord swore on oath to David. And that's an important reminder, because that oath has to be fulfilled, just as the Abrahamic oath has to be fulfilled. What God has promised his chosen, he will fulfill. Even if it doesn't look where we're at right now, and question whether all this will come about in the way that the Bible tells us, we should stop questioning it, because God's word is true. So, all right, so Psalm 132, like I say, is an unknown psalm, a song of the ascent, and I've given you the highlights of it, so let me read it. I think it's worth reading it in detail, particularly the middle section, 11 to 18. So let me read the whole thing, though. O Lord, again, that's Yahweh, remember David and all the hardships he endured. He swore an oath to the Lord, Yahweh, and made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, that's Yahweh, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your saints sing for joy. For the sake of David, your servant, do not reject your anointed one. And then these verses 11 to 18. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. God will not take it away. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne, descendants of David. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. That's a long time. For the Lord Yahweh has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor will I satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. You know that is going to be Jesus Christ. I will clothe his enemies with shame. but the crown on his head will be resplendent. Amazing picture of what the future holds. And that is considered, in fact, my footnote here of Grant Jeffries, I believe, it emphasizes a little bit more. So I'm going to read this footnote, 11 to 18. This psalm prophetically confirmed God's unbreakable promise to David to establish David's seed upon the throne of Israel forever. The final fulfillment of this prophecy will be realized during the millennial kingdom. When the Messiah returns, the temple will be reestablished, sacred worship reinstated, and righteous priests will worship God in true holiness. That is yet to happen. Think about that, what lies ahead. We may not see it in our time, but things are moving. That's all you can say. So, all right, Psalm 133 is next, and that's only three verses. It's a song of the ascent, and so a song of the ascent, three verses, and I summarized it with one line. On Mount Zion, the Lord will bestow his blessing forever. So let me read those three verses just to support that. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And that's this is of David. David's writing this. So think of the problems he had in his family. It is like precious oil poured on the head of running down and running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, turning back to Aaron's time, the first priest, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon, were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life, how long? Forevermore, without end. And I think we need to take that to heart. So Psalm 134, it's an unknown writer, the Song of the Ascents again, three verses, and I'm just gonna read the three verses. My summary pretty well covers it, but praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord Yahweh, who minister by night in the house of the Lord Yahweh. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. So that's 134. 135 is the longer one. I'll just read the summary and read most of it, if not all of it. It's unknown, 21 verses. The summary is praising the Lord in the first three verses. Verse 4, the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own and Israel as his treasured possession. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, so both of them are kind of one and the same. But we know that Israel also relates to the nation. Verses 5 to 12, the Lord does whatever pleases him. And verses 13 to 21, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Praise be to the Lord Yahweh from Zion to him who dwells in Jerusalem. So this is a blessing. So let me read through it. It's not too bad. Praise the Lord, verse 1, praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. I haven't counted the number of lords in this particular psalm, but you can maybe count them as we go. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 in those first two verses. Then verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. That's all. They're all Yahweh's. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. Verse 4, for the Lord Yahweh has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession. I know the Lord Yahweh is great, that our Lord, now that's a different word, Adonai, our Lord is greater than God's, little g. And then verse 6, the Lord Yahweh does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain, and we're reminded of that, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land as an inheritance to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord Yahweh, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. For the Lord Yahweh will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. I think of that description of many of the people today. They have mouths but cannot speak, or what they speak is not godly. Eyes, but they cannot see. They cannot see all this that's really God's hand is on it. They have ears, but they don't listen. Cannot hear. They have breath, nor is there breath in their mouths. For those who make them will be like them, and so forth, who trust in him. So, and then it refers to Israel, which is Jacob, and then followed by Aaron, who was the first priest, and then the whole house of Levi, the priestly house, and then praise the Lord from Zion, to him who dwells in Jerusalem. So, it's another pretty interesting psalm with a lot of background information. Psalm 136, again, is unknown. It's 26 verses. A lot of it's pretty repetitive, so I'm probably not going to read everything. I'll give you a little flavor of it, and then please read it through yourself. Every verse ends, if you follow this, ends with his love endures forever. 26 reminders of his love endures forever. And so I just kind of summarize Psalm 136 with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And that's what's repeated. So it starts with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then same thing, give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone who does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel, to the one who remembered us in our low estate, and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. And I'll just finish with, his love endures forever. 26 reminders of that. Verse 136, yeah. 137, you should be able to get through that. That's nine verses. I just summarized all nine verses. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. So this is referring back to the time in which Israel was in captivity, many of them, and they sat by the rivers of in Babylon and remembered Israel, remembered Jerusalem, remembered Zion. So let me read these nine verses in 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept. When we remembered Zion, there on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord, Yahweh, while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord Yahweh, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us. He who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. And that's Psalm 137. I think I have time for, I'm prepared through 39, so let's just see. I'll do 38 for sure, and then we'll see where we're at with your prayers and so forth. So, Psalm 138, I summarized the eight verses. It's David. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. So let me read it in its entirety. I will praise you, O Lord Yahweh, with all my heart. Before the gods, little g, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord Yahweh, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And I think I will stop there. I'll leave 139 that I had prepared, but we'll save that either for next week or 2 weeks. Depending on what I get done with Psalm 119. As I explained to you earlier, I had a little struggle getting through how I want to present Psalm 119. So I only got through the first four characters, because it is the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 characters of the Hebrew alphabet with eight lines in a stanza for each character. And I struggled with the whole concept of, is it so intricate that God purposely put those characters at each end of each sentence of each part of the eight verses, or was it kind of forced, or should we just accept it as God thing, because it's just amazing that the whole alphabet, the whole Hebrew alphabet. If you want to study the Hebrew alphabet just on your own, go to Psalm 119, and then get a Hebrew translation if you want to see it. So anyway, I'll either be doing Psalm 119 next week or the following week. So we'll just see how I do in my preparation. Like I said, telling Karen, I think I spent 10 hours trying to prepare myself to do Psalm 119 today, and I still wasn't even close to how am I going to present this in a way that would be meaningful, and that's what I want to do. So anyway, let's close in prayer, prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Dear Lord, thank you for this time you've given us to be in study in your word. We thank you for the Psalms, all the Psalms. We thank you for the message that you give us, even to this day, so many thousand years later from when they were written, still meaningful, and even more so now as the time approaches. And so we thank you, Lord, for your word. We just ask for your continued guidance of your Holy Spirit to show us the greater things that you want us to see in your word. So we thank you for this time we've had, but we thank you now ahead of time for our time of worship. We pray for each part of our worship service that it'll be a blessing on those who participate in the service, come here in this place for this day, or those who may be listening in as well. We pray that the blessing will be on them as well. And so we thank you for each part of our worship service that's been prepared. As we always pray, we thank you for our time of fellowship that we have with one another and the blessings that we can pass back and forth to one another. We thank you for the prayers that will be lifted up, and we thank you particularly for the answered prayers, Lord. But we also thank you that there's a purpose for the unanswered prayers. So we just pray that you will continue to encourage us to continue to pray for particularly the unanswered prayers. And we pray for our time of study in the Word, the Word that you've given to be read. We thank you ahead of time for that. And then we thank you particularly for Raymond's message that he will share in the sermon. And we just ask for a blessing on him and upon the Word that is shared. And we ask for a blessing for our congregation here to continue to build each other up, to encourage one another, to support one another in whatever way that can be. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord, and we thank you for this time and ask for a blessing as we go into our time of worship now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.